Our top story, 600 lawyers from all across India, which includes prominent lawyers like senior advocate Harish Salve, Manan Kumar Mishra, Adesh Agarwal, Pinky Anand, among others, have written a letter titled Judiciary Under Threat, Safeguarding Judiciary from Political and Professional Pressure. And this is a letter which has been sent to Chief Justice of India, Justice D.Y. Chandrachur. The letter highlights how, and I quote, vested interest group is trying to apply pressure on the Indian judiciary. The letter raises concerns about the alleged fabrication of false narratives aimed at portraying a skewed view of the judiciary's functioning with comparisons to a purported golden age of the courts. Such narratives, the lawyers assert, are intended to influence judicial outcomes and erode public trust in the judiciary. Soon after the letter, the Prime Minister took to X to target Congress Party, saying that this is vintage Congress behavior to browbeat and bully others. He went on to say, and I quote him, 5 decades ago itself, they had called for a committed judiciary. They shamelessly want commitment from others for their selfish interests, but desist from any commitment towards the nation. The Congress chief, Mr. Kharge, has said that the BJP was bullying institution after institution and blaming the Congress for their sins. How will this be playing out politically and also legally? We have a full panel right now. Manan Kumar Mishra is senior advocate of the Supreme Court and he is one of the signatories of this letter. We have Nalin Kohli, national spokesperson of the BJP and also senior advocate of the Supreme Court here in the studio. Mahima Singh, spokesperson of the Congress. We also have Neeja Chaudhary, senior journalist, joining us as well, and also Amitabh Tiwari. Let me begin with you, Manan Mishra. What made all of you write this letter? What is the immediate provocation?
See, if you 2 days ago, a letter was written by a group of lawyers of Supreme Court to the Honorable Chief Justice of India. And there they actually tried to malign the image of some of the judges and the entire judiciary, saying that the matters, there is a bench fixing. And the attempt of these people having vested interest was to malign and to mount a pressure tactics on our judiciary and the judges so that they could get favorable orders from the Supreme Court. Hmm. Then myself, Mr. Harish Salve, the other leaders of the bar, we decided to write to the Honorable Chief Justice. Naturally, the judges, they can't defend themselves. It is the duty of the lawyers, every sensible lawyer, is to defend our judiciary, our institution. Therefore, we decided to write to the Honorable Chief Justice of India, and we have written that letter. We have expressed our serious concern that this is the deliberate attempt to malign our judges and the top judiciary, and any attempt to tarnish the image of our judges. Okay. The bar, at least bar, and the leaders of the bar, they cannot hold it.
Okay, Nalin, coming to you, what makes the BJP the BJP government think that this is about Congress trying to bully institutions?
Well, because some of the protagonists are either or have been senior members of the Congress Party or have been in government of the Congress Party and have made it an agenda to constantly attack. Let's take, for example, senior lawyer, former law minister, Mr. Kapil Sibal. He's on record to say that this will not be counted as the golden period of the judiciary. On what basis is this comment? How can you say that today's court and the Honorable Supreme Court is not a golden period? Why should the constitutional courts, which is high courts, be ignored because a set of lawyers say we must come in an Article 32 petition straight to the Honorable Supreme Court? Every day, the government of India loses cases, wins cases. Mm. When cases are lost, the judiciary is independent. When cases are won, then they will say, no, the judiciary is not independent. And the Congress Party has to really reflect. I was seeing the tweet of Mr. Mallikarjun Kharge. The fact of the matter is the open call for a committed judiciary came from the Congress Party. In emergency, they superseded Justice Khanna. Later on, they appointed people and favorites like Justice Baig. Justice Baig, after retirement, he also filed a contempt petition against the Times of India for writing an article on him, which was rejected by his other colleagues. He then went to the National Herald, got the Padma Vibhushan. Or let's take the case of, say, Baharul Islam. Baharul Islam from Assam was a Congress member of parliament from 1962 to 72, Rajya Sabha. He joins the Guwahati High Court as a judge, becomes Chief Justice there, retires. 9 months after retiring as Chief Justice of Guwahati, he is appointed a judge of the Supreme Court. In the Supreme Court, he writes the famous judgment of Jagannath Mishra, the forgery case, exonerating him. Later on, when he finishes off, he goes and contests the election from Barpeta. When the election is not held in Assam, he then goes on to become a Rajya Sabha member again and gets higher positions and Padma Vibhushan or whatnot. So the Congress party and those who have been associated with the Congress party have to reflect. Last but not least, Mr. Sibal himself says that this is not the golden period. He was defending for 6 hours Ramaswamy, a judge whose impeachment was there. He made fun of the entire process. The Congress tried to prevent that entire impeachment process. We need to draw the line somewhere.
Okay. So who is drawing the line here? And the provocation essentially is coming from those lawyers who are believed to be Congress protagonists. Mahima, point by point rebuttal to what has been said by Nalin here.
Jai Hind. They say that the advocates can awaken a sleeping people and can pacify an agitated mob. I was hearing a revered colleague from the BJP, and as a senior advocate also, I deeply respect him. But I'm wondering today that where does the, this crying foul of the Prime Minister come from? Because number one, the question is, Maria, what authority does the opposition hold today? I mean, the elections are around and the Prime Minister is speaking as if we have the authority, to really affect the country. It is rather the other way around. Also, you see, the learned councils who have written this letter, the 600 learned councils, seem to have undermined the wisdom of the apex court when they speak like this. Because if you look at the letter and spirit of that, the draft, there are no citations, first of all. These advocates did not speak up when the four judges came out and addressed a press conference in an unprecedented manner. They did not feel like speaking up when Manipur happened. They did not feel like speaking up when Sonam Wangchuk was on a 21-day fast till recently. The Prime Minister did not feel like speaking up when half of Ladakh was out on a strike, on a hunger strike, 21-day hunger strike, while there was snow and adverse weather. But you see, the BJP can grant a ticket to a sitting justice who resigns, comes out and contests on a BJP ticket, and cannot decide between a Gandhi and a Godse. So I think there's a lot to answer for the BJP when a CJI, right after his retirement, without any cooling off period, is made a Rajya Sabha member, when a retired justice without a cooling off period is made a governor, when rules are amended to make a retired justice an NHRC chairperson. So there's a lot to answer for the BJP before they cry foul. Yeah. By the way, let me remind that
the points that you've
in
made,
our matter,
I'm sure, ma'am, Nalin has a response to that, because the Congress party also has enough skeletons in its cupboard when it is about that cooling off period. It was never followed by you all either. Please, Nalin, respond to that and then I bring in Amitabh.
Mahimaji, first of all, thank you for those kind words to me personally. Now coming back to what my learned colleague has said. So I was waiting because some of the Congress party comments come out like a script. So I think with the minute it came on Justice Gangopadhyay, I think we need to go back to Baharul Islam. I think that's one of the finest example. In a sarcastic sense, the worst possible example of a political, legal understanding to the extent that you bring a man after 9 months of his retirement, almost like a second birth, to come into the Supreme Court to get specially Jagannath Mishraji's judgment out. Let's come to Justice Ranjan Gogoi. Because Justice Ranjan Gogoi is a nominated member, not a BJP or a Congress party member. And Justice Gogoi was revered by the same set of people when he came out in a press conference and he was attacked. Let's take the case of Justice Deepak Mishra, Chief Justices. These are Chief Justices of India who have no record or nothing that can be said that they came out with an unfair judgment, that they favored anybody out of the way, but they were probably attacked by this group of people, the vested interests. And I think Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi in his autobiography points it out, takes it on, when he says that my reading and analysis of public utterances and conduct of a group of people who hold out the card of judicial independence or the lack of it. They do this through public speeches and writings in selective agenda-based publications, which at times unfairly make personal attacks on judges. So it's absolutely correct. Judges can't speak for themselves. It is for the bar to finally come out and speak for them. The Congress party always likes the judiciary and everything when what they like or personally believe, they believe that is supported.
Cherry picking of judgments. So when judgments are in favor, Mahima, is the point that is being made, which is being seen by opposition parties as a favorable judgment, then the judiciary is doing its job. When it is otherwise, then it is about bench fixing or my way or the highway kind of an approach. How fair is that?
You asked me, Maria, I'm so sorry. There was a network glitch.
Please go ahead, if you heard me.
Could you just briefly reiterate your question?
Yes. So my point is that, how fair is it to come up with this theory of bench fixing? Isn't that disrespectful and very, very contemptuous, I would also say, because there has been a great degree of cherry-picking when it comes to recent judgments.
I would say that, except for the electoral bonds judgment recently, we, the opposition or the like-minded petitioners who have filed cases, the demonetization or the CAA or the others, we have faced defeats, just like the government. But, when we have faced defeats, we have accepted them graciously. I would like to ask the BJP spokesperson, is he defending Justice Gangopadhyay when he's saying he can't pick between a Gandhi and a Godse? Because I think, the whole country reveres Mahatma Gandhi as the father of the nation. And here's a BJP candidate now and the erstwhile sitting judge of the Calcutta High Court. On another show, a BJP spokesperson said that he was working under a lot of pressure by the TMC. So is that the TMC pressure which is not allowing him to choose?
We'll get into the politics of it later. You are a lawyer. We have Nalin Kohli, who's a lawyer. So let's speak about the space of judiciary, which is now being questioned here. Amitabh Tiwari, why do you think the Prime Minister quote tweeted actually made it like a talking point? And use that as an opportunity to target the Congress party?
See, it is essentially a letter versus letter sort of a battle. And while the letter largely speaks about political cases and how high profile lawyers have been employed in those cases and have been taking directly approaching the Supreme Court and getting time, whereas the common man may not have got that opportunity, the battle is also being fought in the public court. It's a perceptual battle.
Perception, right.
Now, judiciary is one of the four pillars of democracy, and especially at a time when it has given a decision, citing the electoral bonds as unconstitutional, to say that it is fairly partial does not reflect good on the opposition, or even does not reflect good on the image of India, because these sort of statements do not work for the image internationally. So the Prime Minister is trying to set the narrative in the public domain that there is a set of people, and especially the opposition, which are now even raising question marks about the impartiality of the judiciary, which is held very high, which is held in very high esteem, not only in India, but globally. However, with regard to the cooling off period and judges joining political parties after they retire or just before they prematurely retire, I think there needs to be some law regarding this, because anyone who resigns from a company has a 6-month notice period as well as a 6-month non-compete clause. So that sort of a clause I think should come in for judges as well of the Supreme Court.
Okay, but overall, do you think that this is quintessential BJP of today or of since 2014, when every issue is strong enough for them to wade into because it's political season?
It is political season, and it has to be linked to a lot of things, because There has been also a narrative driven by the opposition that the government central agencies are after the opposition leaders and they are putting them behind bars, and the laws are so rigid that they are not getting bails. The judiciary is fixed. So it's all linked. So the Prime Minister perhaps sees this, that this might just work in opposition's favor if this sort of narrative need not be challenged or need not be countered. And that's why perhaps he has gone ahead with this sort of
So he is not leaving anything unchallenged is the messaging here. Let me go back to the two spokespersons who are also lawyers. One of the points that have been made here, Nalin, is political flip-flopping. Then they talk about underhand tactics and false information, almost like some kind of modus operandi. So this is like the judiciary, like most spaces are deeply polarized in terms of the divisions that we are seeing. The legal space is deeply polarized again. But what does it do to the judiciary as an institution then?
I think, first of all, the political space has several lawyers. And I think that's to be celebrated. I mean, if you have the example of Mahatma Gandhiji, you also have the example of Jawaharlal Nehru. You've had several people in the Congress party. I mean, Mr. Chidambaram, Mr. Kapil Sibal, Abhishek Manu Singhvi. You've had on the BJP side, Mr. Ravi Shankar Prasad, the late Mr. Arun Jaitley. So it's okay. So political people, lawyers, that's part of it. Mahima and I also qualify as political and lawyers. But the point at the end of the day is that that is only in the political space. In the judicial space, a line exists. And I think what we have seen through the 70s after the takeover or the attempt to take over the judiciary completely was the judiciary pushed back, and then a collegium system came, gets evolved over the period. Yes, it's not perfect. There are questions with the collegium system too. But that doesn't mean that this was not an attempt of the judiciary to fight back for its independence. And I think while NJAC was an attempt to find a balance, it doesn't mean that between the executive and the judiciary, a relationship of some conflict or stress remains. But to say that the judiciary is completely subservient to the executive, as this set of people tend to make out from time to time, is incorrect. We have seen those days. We don't have those days from the 1970s, late 70s, early 80s onwards. It has really come back to a point where the government, yes, it is in the nature of the government and the judiciary, as in any of the organs of under the Constitution, to have some kind of healthy stress between them. But a committed judiciary, as was there in the 70s or around that time, doesn't exist. And all that I was saying, I'm going to, in fact, Maria, recommend you should pull out that piece from the Times of India of April 2018, when Chief Justice of India, Deepak Mishra, was under attack. Times of India had a piece by Dhananjay Mahapatra that talks about the skullduggery. And we are nowhere close to any of that skullduggery we have seen in the 70s and the 80s.
Mahima? Do you think it's fair to question the judiciary, the manner in which it is being done? Because it's about damaging public trust as well.
Let me remind Maria, not many days ago, we saw a doctored video of the Honorable CJI, Justice Chandchur, and he was being trolled by none other than the BJP-sponsored trolls, their IT cell. And we have seen that. How did that happen? Where was the conscience of these 600 lawyers then? And is it just a matter of chance that two of the authors of this letter are those lawyers, learned colleague Mr. Salve and the SCBA president, Mr. Adish Agarwala, who have received an evident admonition by the Honorable CJI for their conduct towards the court. Mr. Agarwala actually wrote to the Honorable President of India to intervene. And we heard the Honorable CJI speak to him saying that, "Don't make me speak more, it won't be in good taste." So is it only a matter of coincidence that this letter has come out, undermining the wisdom of the judiciary? And I would like the BJP spokesperson to comment on where was the Prime Minister? Where was the conscience of these lawyers when Honorable CJI was being trolled? Why did none of them come and comment on that then?
So I have something straight to answer on that. The first is, the so-called words that my colleague has used about admonishment, I think any practicing lawyer, and that includes me, I'm sure it includes her too, knows in a court that you can be rebuked by a court, but that is part of the legal process. And it's not personal, Because at the end of the day, you can go back to the court on another matter and find the court completely favorable to you. That is the beauty of the independence of the judiciary. That you can be pulled up in one matter, and in the very next matter, before the same bench, they may appreciate your argument. And that's what I think stands for a good judiciary. Number one. Number two, the so-called conscience and all this about it, I think to just immediately say this is the BJP trolls is an overstatement. Because I don't know on what basis that has arrived at. Sometimes we get trolled, and certainly not that the BJP's troll machinery is against us. Leave it. Trolls are trolls. That is for them to do what it is. You've got to be thick-skinned about it and move on and do your job.
Mahima is disagreeing. Mahima, go ahead, 30 seconds, and then I'll give the last word to Manan Mishra.
I agree that the court's admonishment, in fact, is both encouraging and discouraging for all of us, and there are flip sides to it. But isn't that very wisdom, isn't that very authority of the court that has been undermined in this letter? That is the point I'm making.
So where does Article 19 come then into this? Article 19 about freedom of expression and speech. So, I mean, of course, it's not an absolute right in India, which was modified in the First Amendment in 1951, which puts in reasonable restrictions. So you can't have it one way. Somebody has a view on Article 19 being exercised by someone else. So Maria may have a point of view. I may not disagree, but that does not mean that Maria has to agree with my point of view either.
You know, the larger question is also, judiciary is one of the very strong pillars of democracy.
Absolutely.
And for this kind of calculated attacks which is happening, how... You know, don't you think it's very, very damaging, because it's impacting the faith that people in India have at large on the Indian judiciary? Manan Mishra, coming to the question that has been asked by Mahima, of course, this is a letter versus letter battle which is going on. First, there was one set of letters. Then you have written along with 599 other lawyers questioning the entire move. Like most spaces, The legal space is also divided between some people who are ideologically driven on one side versus the other. You know, those who feel that the judiciary is independent, the other feel that judiciary, like others who have written, think otherwise. Where is the Indian judiciary then? You know, because they have, of course, the judges so far have maintained dignified silence.
See, they are to maintain silence. Even if somebody criticizes them without any basis, they are to keep mum. It is for the bar and the people of the country to defend them. Here you see, there is a deliberate attempt on the judiciary at a crucial time. The time is very important. You see, several politicians, they are facing criminal cases. They are in jail. Some of the particular lawyers, they are defending them. When they are not getting favorable orders, they are not able to get favorable orders for them, then they start doing this, they writing letter to Chief Justice, thereafter going to the social media. This is maligning the image of the judiciary.
Okay.
See, that is very bad. That is why we reacted. We wrote to the Chief Justice. We have also...
Are you expecting some kind of response from the CJI as well?
It is for the CJI to decide.
All right, let's see how it plays out in the courts now. Thank you so much, Manan Kumar Mishra, Nalin Kohli here in the studio, Mahima Singh and Amitabh Tiwari.